Thank you, Nick, for the warm and kind introduction. I'm sorry, I'm not wearing my red shoes, so I hope I'm allowed to preach anyway. So, okay, I will do my best. I would like to share to you about 1 John. I'm reading, or sometimes I'm trying to read the Bible through in 1 year, and at one time I just came across, very end, 1 John. And it really touched me. This is a book that I never actually gave a lot of attention to, because it's complicated, okay? It's all muddled up, at least for me. And we'll talk about this. But I thought this might be something that would be helpful for us. So I've just copied my passport page for you so that you can know. This is my name, Ritter. It's called Knight in Shining Armors, okay? I am Hans Walter. If you want to call me by my full name, it's Hans Walter Heinrich. You can say Hans, okay? I'm from Germany, Deutschland, Germany. I am born in Agogo. My parents were missionaries. That is a little village, a little hospital in Ghana, West Africa. Okay? So that's where I'm born. Some might be surprised about this figure here. In 1964, I was born. I look so young, and I will show you my wife who is responsible for that. And I live in Karlsruhe. That is a town in Germany. So this is my lovely family. And my wife Sabine, she grew up in Uitenhage. And she studied at UCT. And she has been up with me, but she wanted to be with her sending church. And that's Cape Town Goodwood Baptist Church. So she is there this morning. Two of our girls are with us. And my Sabine's father is still around. He's 84. He does not know the Lord. And that's why we want to spend the next week with him and hopefully have a chance to also share a little bit about the gospel with him. So we have 3 kids, as you can see, and we are working for this OMF. OMF. Okay? We call it OMF. Okay? Some people know OM. This is the Overseas Missionary Fellowship, or came out of the China Inland Mission, 1865, where we... since 150 years, focus on reaching out to Chinese. And now, later on, we widened it to all East Asians. So we are reaching out to East Asians. And Nick and Trish are part of this. You know that they have been in Thailand, and they are now heading up OMF in South Africa. So we are very grateful to work together with them. Best greetings from my family, okay? So, before we start with 1 John, let me just go into 2 Corinthians. And there is one verse that I just feel is important. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I love your church. I love that you're focusing on God. I love the music. I love the warmth that you have in welcoming your members. I like the beauty. You see the candles and the hearts and the decoration. But I like that we are focusing on Jesus in this church. And this verse says that as we are focusing on Jesus, what happens? We are transformed into his likeness. And brothers and sisters, this is what we pray for today. This is what I pray for my personal life, but also for your life. That more and more, we are transformed to be more like Jesus. So may this service, may looking at 1 John, use us and change us to be more like Jesus. I need to stand in the light, I guess. I'm walking around, so if you can't see me, I'm still around, I'm still talking. 1 John, the author most likely is the disciple that Jesus loved, okay? He wrote the Revelation. He wrote the Gospel of John. It was most likely a very late book, 85, 95. Most likely all the other disciples had died already, so he was one of the last. He's speaking to second and third generation Christians. And you may know, you know, at the beginning it's exciting to be a Christian. But after a while it becomes slow and you're used to it. And this is the second and third generation. So they are struggling. They're struggling in being holy. They're struggling to be different in the world. We are not here to sit in our pews. We are here to be different in our world. And that's what John is attending. That's what he's talking about. And it's interesting that in this letter or in this sermon, the commentators don't know sure whether it's a letter or a sermon. There is no persecution at all. But there he speaks about a lot of false teaching. And you might know that persecution is something that really strengthens the church. It's tough, but it strengthens the church. But false teaching is actually much more dangerous because it takes the church apart from inside. And that's what he's addressing in this letter. So if you want to look at false teaching, go and look at the, this letter. So the question is, how do we address false teaching? That's what we need to talk about. And actually, it's what's the foundation of our faith? Because false teaching is not in any different way addressed than really speaking about what is our foundation. And that's what I want to focus on today. And actually, it's just this little one. We base our faith not on what God does for us, but we do base our faith on the character of God. So if you don't take anything from this sermon because you think this German guy is boring or he speaks with a strange dialect, base your faith on the character of God. Not what God does for you or what you think he should do for you, but read the Bible and see the character of God. And that's what we base our faith on. So let's look at 1 John, bird's eye view. There is a phrase in 1 John and it says, this is the message. And this phrase comes twice. And I think it indicates the two big pillars in his sermon or in his letter that he wants us to think. The first thing is, and you can see at the decoration, God is light. God is light. He's bright and shining light. And there is no darkness at all in him. So God is not somehow dodgy and most of the time he's okay. God is pure, absolutely pure, and he is light and there is no darkness in him. And that's why it is absolutely incompatible if our lives are not pure, if we do not live up to the way that God is. We cannot live in darkness and claim to be a Christian because the God we follow is light, absolute light. So brothers and sisters, let's be challenged. If God is light, our lives need to be compatible to who God is. The second thing where this little phrase comes, this is the message, is actually when he says, God is love. So there are these two pillars. God is light and God is love. And to have fellowship with God means to have fellowship with one another. I can't say that I love God and I'm so much in love with God and have fellowship with God. But you know, this other person that has fellowship with God, I just don't like. That doesn't work. That is incompatible with who God is. And that's why I love this. This church is an integrating church. And everybody is allowed to come and to be who he is. Because that's what it is. We come together and we love God because God is love. We have fellowship with one another. So what he says is, if God is love, what does it mean for us? We need to love one another. Okay? So these are the two pillars in 1 John. It's the character of God, that God is love and that God is light. And those two pillars are actually what counters false teaching. You can always go back to the false teaching and clarify it by looking back at the character of God. God is light and God is love. I will, the book of John, you may like Paul, okay? So let me demonstrate Paul. Paul has an argument and he stands there and he says A, B, C makes D, okay? So Paul is very linear. Now, 1 John goes like this. God is love. Oh, God is love. Oh, God is love. But God is light. Oh, God is light. God is light. God is light. But actually, God is also love, 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 love. Okay? So he goes in circles constantly. And sometimes you feel, this is very confusing to read 1 John. But a commentator said, and that helped me, it's a it's an upstairs staircase. It's a staircase that actually goes up and up. Okay? So as you look at 1 John, just keep that in mind, that he's taking us up to understand who God is. He wants to show us the character of God. Let me just give you a few hints. So how do we know God? He talks about this. How do we deal with our sin? He talks about this. Who is this gospel for? And then on the other side, how can we love? Are there practical examples? And there are at least three. And then who should we love? So these are the things that I really would like to quickly go through with you. And we start right here. How do we know about God? In Asia, normally the congregation reads together. So can we read the passage, 1 John 5, together? Have we, together? This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This is the message we have heard from him. So where does our understanding of God come from? Did we make it up? Did we engage a few scientists to look at it? God is beyond the universe. How should we ever understand God? Very, very powerful. John says, this has been revealed to us, the message we have heard from him. It was Jesus Christ, the only one, God himself, came down to reveal the Father to us. So if you want to know anything about God, look at Jesus. Read what Jesus said. Talk to Jesus. If you want to understand the Father, you need to go to Jesus. And that is the only authority that will tell you about God. So, it's the character of God. But where do we know this character of God? God is light and God is love. Where does it come from? It is revealed by Jesus. And that's why we know that what we have is right and is true. So, if God is light, and in him there is no darkness, you know, he is holy and pure. Absolutely holy, a holy God. He's also reliable and unchangeable. You know, it's not that today God is light and tomorrow he may change his mind. It's absolutely reliable. Light is self-revealing. We can see God. God wants us to see him. But light is also revealing our sins, and that it's often very uncomfortable for people to meet God. So that is what God is all about. And as we have seen, how do we know about God? It is revealed in Jesus. So how do we deal with our sin? If God is light, and if he reveals our sin, and we are sinful people, what do we do with it? What is John teaching us? Can we read together? We start at verse 5 again. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. So, to walk in the darkness means that our lives does not show the light. There are people that talk light. They have all the right words. But if you look at their lives, you see they're not walking in the light. So it's not about talking. It's about being in the light, because that's what God is. To walk in the light, what does it mean? To have fellowship with God and to have fellowship with one another. That's why we meet on Sundays. And that's why it's so important for next week that you not just skip church, but that you find the fellowship, that you find small groups and work together. Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus purifies us continuously. We have the need to be cleansed again and again. You have the need. I have the need. And that's this beautiful provision that with all of my sins, with all of my iniquities, with all of my weaknesses, I can go to Jesus again and again. And no matter what I've done, there's always grace. There's always forgiveness. You may not know this Jesus. You may not know this God. But let me tell you this. He loves you. And he has an open heart for you. He accepts you the way you are. He wants you to be with him. So never think that this God is a foreign God. In Jesus, this God has come to us. He has lived our lives because he wants to be with you. And he wants to know you. So always come. Never think you are too dirty, too sinful, to anything. Know that we can come and continuously be cleansed with God. Okay, so we looked at it's revealed in Jesus and Jesus purifies us by our sins. But the question is, who is this gospel for? Is it just for the elect? Is it just for the holy ones? And it's interesting what he says. Please read with me 1 John 2, the first two verses. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So praise God, we are saved. But it's not just that Jesus died for our sins. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. So he is the atoning sacrifice. And I talked about this. He paid the price. He did everything that we need. But it's not only for ours, but also for the ones of the whole world. Let me just tell you a story out of my ministry. My wife and I, besides our leadership job, we run an international Bible study. And we get to know a lot of international students. And this is not the real picture, and I don't give you his real name because he comes from China. I call him Xichuan. Xichuan was an angry man. He was very bright, but he was an angry man. He got into trouble with everybody. He got into trouble with his parents. He got into trouble with his study colleagues. He even got into trouble with his girlfriend because she became pregnant. And he said, just kill the baby. I don't want the baby. He realized how difficult he had become. And then he had the bright and brilliant idea. Do you know what? I leave all this darkness behind. I go as an international student and I come to Germany. And I leave all this anger behind. The night before he went into the plane, he got in such a trouble with his father that he broke his own arm. So with a broken arm, he came to Germany only to realize that the anger inside of him, he was not able to leave behind. He still was an angry man. And then there was an African man, a black African man. He invited him to church and he said, church is bad. Church is for the weak. Church is for the stupid. But he went anyway because the African man was so persistent. And he realized that in church, the top PhD student from his university prepared for baptism. Isn't it amazing? So he realized it's not just for the stupid. But he was moved to another university and there it was a Spanish man who invited him to an international church. And it was the American pastor with his Japanese wife that led him to the Lord. And then he was baptized in a Neckar River. You know Heidelberg? Some of you may know Heidelberg. Heidelberg, the river that flows through Heidelberg is the Neckar. And he was baptized in the Neckar River together with a Scottish lady and 20 others. And today he's engaged with this Scottish lady. And you know what? His parents saw the change in him. And they wanted to become Christians. So they read the Bible, they looked for a church, and they have been baptized now as well. Isn't it amazing how God is grabbing people? And it's not just for us. He died for the sins of the whole world. And we can invite people to come to this Jesus. Okay, so we talked about God is light. Let's go for the next one. How can we love? Now, this is a tricky one, and I ask you to read with me. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So how can we love? Again, you see the little phrase, this is the message. And then he said, love one another. And interestingly is he starts with an anti-example, a negative example. He talks about Cain. And he says, this is how we naturally react. If we see somebody who is righteous and we are not, we hate. We want to kill. We are upset. God is light. And why is he not accepting us? So to love somebody is not our natural tendency. So what is he speaking about it? He says, love one another. And he says in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. So actually, if there is love in my life for other people, it's a sign that I've made the step from being a non-Christian, not being saved, to being saved and have come to the understanding of Jesus. There was a Chinese student in my house, and he became a Christian. He didn't want to pray, so I said, why don't you write a prayer? So he wrote a prayer to God. It was just really lovely. And we talked about love, and he said, I don't know how to love people. And I said, you've just become a Christian. Wait. 2 weeks later, he comes to me and he was very excited. He said, I saw somebody and his bike was broken. And I left my bike and I helped him and I fixed his bike. It's the first time in my life that I did something for somebody. And I didn't even feel obliged to do it. It was just so much love that flew through me. Love flows through us as we are connected with Jesus. Romans 5:9, I think, or 7, it's by the Holy Spirit that the love of Christ flows into our lives. So we love. So love one another. What does this mean? The example of love is Jesus Christ on the cross. So whenever you doubt the love of God, you look at the cross, because that is where God demonstrated his love for us. So God's character is love. It's an agape love. It's an unconditional. It's a selfless love. It's actually not something that humans can produce, but it's something that God has. Sacrificial, unfailing, unending, a selfless love. If you're a Christian for a while, you know that you have not earned this love. And for me, every morning afresh, it's a miracle to see God loving me. He should expect more of me. I should be better. I should be whatever. But it's not who I should be. It's the character of God that he has a sacrificial love for me and for his world. And we live from this world. But this love is actually the example for us. This is the love we ought to love with. We love one another. But this is almost impossible for us. So let's look at another passage. And can you read with me again? 1 John 3, starting with verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. all who have this hope in him purify themselves as he is pure. And then verse 10, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brothers and sisters. So love is a sign that I've been saved, that I've been transformed. But he starts that passage to say, realize that love. See how great that love is. Brothers and sisters, enjoy the love of God. Take time every morning to enjoy the love of God that he has for you. We are children of God. And that's why he loves us. He made us. He paid for us to be his children. And so take the time. Enjoy his love. It makes you strong. It makes you stable. It gives you security for in who you are. It's not what you produce. It's not what your deeds and what you're all doing. It's who God is and how he showers his love on you. And because he loves you, because he died for you, you can be who you are. And God transforms us. We are not staying who we are. But it's a privilege to see this love, but it's also a commitment and to pass it on. Now, interesting is he's not only talking about now we are children of God, but he also says what we will be. And then he talks about this transformation. God is transforming you and me into his likeness. You can come to God how you are, how dirty you are, how negative you are, with the hurts that you have, whatever you have experienced, come to God as you are. But the beauty is that God is working in you, that he's transforming you. Some of you have realized this big construction site out there. Yeah? Yeah? Some have. Yeah? Okay. This is how my life looks like. Okay? My life is a mess. But you know what? God is working on me. And when I was driving there, Nick and Trish and the family, they were counting the days. It will be beautiful. It will be very nice. And you know what? My life will be beautiful because God is working on me. He's transforming me into his likeness. And I'm allowing him to transform me. So I'm a construction site, and most likely you are too. Allow God to transform you into his likeness. That is what he wants to do. Oops, this way, this way, this way. So this is the verse that I read to you in the beginning. And this is, in my mind, a very powerful verse. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness. This is what God is doing with you and me, transforming you into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So brothers and sisters, allow the Holy Spirit to work on you. Again, you can come however you are, but expect God to make you beautiful. You may look like this construction site, but a few months later, this construction site will change. And in my life, I'm seeing how God is doing something. And that's the same that he is doing in you. Okay, so how can we love? By becoming more like Jesus. It's not my love. I don't have the love for the world. Sometimes the world is not lovable. There is nothing that you feel this is lovable. But it's the love of God that flows through us into the world. And that's the only way how we can love. Okay, so practical examples. I will hurry with these examples. One is lay down your life for your brothers and sisters. Just as Jesus has laid down. He gives us examples. He says, lay down your life. Think what you can do for others. It's not just the I, me, my, and myself gospel, okay? How can I be blessed? And how can I be the center stage? Lay down your life for others. Let this love flow through you. Second example, share material possession. So in this verse, he says, it's not just dear children, verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. And I know, and I talk to Nick, and your church is doing very practical things. So let's not just love with our words, but let's express the words in material ways. No, it's not the material deeds that you do that will save you, okay? Never, ever. But it's an expression of your salvation. It is an expression that the love of God is flowing through you. And the third example that I found is in 1 John 5. And there he talks about praying. So often when we pray for each other, we pray, oh, Lord, give them a nicer car. Oh, Lord, help their children in their education. You know, they have gotten great this. They let them be a little bit better. Some pray even for a parking lot. Fine, great. But I believe as we pray for each other, we need to pray on a much, much deeper level. We need to pray for the spiritual man in the brother and sister. We need to pray if our brothers and sisters have fallen into sin, how they can come out of that. If they, you know, Paul, I heard you are looking at Ephesians. Paul has two beautiful prayers where he prays about the eyes of the heart to be open so that they may see Jesus, who he is and how he really is. That's the kind of prayers that we need to pray for each other, for spiritual growth, for getting closer to Jesus, for being rooted and established in his love, to see how deep and wide and long and whatever four dimensions the love of God has. This is how we pray for each other. Okay? So these are some practical examples how he says you can express your love for brothers and sisters. So the question again is this humanly possible? No, it's not. It's only if we are transformed by God into his likeness more and more. And if his love flows through you, through me. So sometimes I realize I have no love. What do? You could fake it, okay? Get money out and fake your love. Do something, you know, give flowers and fake your love. I believe I need to sit down with Jesus. I need to be filled with Jesus once again. I need to go into my prayer closet and read my Bible. And there, when I'm intimate with Jesus, the love starts flowing again. And it's not a fake. It's flowing because it's Christ's love that flows through me. Okay, so these were the practical examples. And last but not least, who should we love? That is a little tricky in the word of in this passage, because he jumps from we love the brothers and sisters, and then he jumps to love the world. So there is always both examples that he speaks about love for the church, but also love for the world. So we have read this passage again. So what does it mean to be transformed? Who does God love? Who does God love? Just think for a minute. Who does God love? Now, most people say, God loves me because he died on the cross for me. So, because God loves me, I love God. That's what Christianity is all about. The problem with that is it's a very individualistic Christianity. If God loves me, I love God, and that's it. I don't believe this is what John is talking about. I believe John is saying something completely different. As you and me, we are becoming more and more like God, we are also loving just as God loves. As you and me are becoming more like God, we are also loving more like God. So we're not just loving ourselves, helping ourselves, making sure that my family is okay. But if the love of God flows in me. I love as God loved. And brothers and sisters, that is an amazing transformation of a church and a transformation of a ministry. I'm struggling with your iPad here. Ria Sebua, she's an Indonesian missionary, and she was with my wife and I on the orientation course when we went to OMF. And she told me this story. When she she's from Indonesia, and she was sent to the Manobo people in the Philippines. After a little bit of language study, they had what they called the field trip. Okay, that's what missionaries do, a field trip. So she was brought to a Manobo tribe, and she was said, look, this is the tribe, this is the village. Okay, we come and pick you up in 2 weeks. You just see how you get on. She said, okay. But she quickly realized, these people stink. These people are ugly. These people are dirty. I can't understand a word what they are doing. They eat horrible stuff. And she just hated it. She counted the days when the truck would come back. Because she just said there was no love for those people. They were not lovable. And on the last day, she just couldn't stand it anymore. You know, when she was sleeping, they all slept together. So you always had a foot in her face or whatever, you know. And it was just all the way. And the pigs were in the room with them. And she just said it was horrible. But the last day, the kid said they need to go down to the valley to get water. And she said, I follow you. Everything to get out of this place. So they went down to the river. And what you do if you don't have clean water, they dug a hole at the side of the river, and then they waited for the water to sinter in, and that was clean water. And after they've dug the hole, the kids were playing in the river, jumping, spraying or whatever, and she was sitting at the side. And as she was watching these kids, she felt the Lord speaking to her. And a thought came into her mind, and she said, go, wash those kids. And she said, no way, I don't touch them. They are ugly, they are dirty, they are whatever. And God says, wash those kids. And she said, but, wash those kids. And she said, as she stood up and slowly walked into the riverbed, and as she put water over these skinny bodies of these Manobo children, as she felt the scars on their skins, as she felt their bodies, an incredible love of God flowed into her life. And this experience, she said, transformed her ministry. She spent over 10 years in this village, loving the Manobos to pieces. And there's a beautiful book, Nick, I'm not sure whether you guys have that book, but there is a beautiful book on her ministry among the Manobo. But it was the love of God that flowed into her. Okay? So that will transform your ministry. So to love like Jesus, and then to love those who God loves. Okay, so we talked about how to address false teaching and what is the foundation of our faith. And we actually said it's the character of God. God is light, he's absolutely pure, there is no darkness in him. But on the other hand, God is love, and he embraces, and it's a sacrificial love. And those two, they flow together. So we saw that walking in the light actually takes continuous cleansing. You and me, we need to have this sitting down with Jesus, being cleansed day and day again, so that we can actually minister in the light and walk in the light. And we have seen that a transformation into his likeness means that we are starting to love like God is loving. And that's my prayer for your church. And we saw a few examples. There is a world out there, brothers and sisters, a world that is needy, a world that does not know this sacrificial love of God. They often only see God is light. And what it means is the wrath of God, because they will never, ever be able to stand up to such a God. But brothers and sisters, I think it's our turn to go out to them, to go into all the world and to share this love that God has for this people. And it's not our love. It never let it flow from yourself, but let it flow from God. Out of your quiet time, let his love flow into the world. I know it's late. I just still give you a minute to just look at those and just reflect. There's a few questions that I just give you. And then after a minute, I just want to pray with us. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. We thank you for revealing the Father to us, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can look at you, Lord Jesus, and we see how God is. Thank you that you are light, Father, absolutely pure, no darkness at all, no corruption and nothing. We praise you and honor you. We worship you, Lord, for all your beauty and all your splendor. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that you revealed the Father not only as the righteous one, as the holy one, the pure one, but also as the one that loves, with a sacrificial, unfailing, never-ending love. And thank you that you're transforming us into this love. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you may transform us more and more. And you have done your work in this church since many, many years already. So I pray and I bless my brothers and sisters as they go from here, that you may use them and that your love may flow through them, Lord Jesus, into this neighborhood, Father, and into the world, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.